Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. We appreciate always you tuning in each Saturday morning, and we're glad that we have an opportunity to study from God's Word once again. This morning, we want to talk about commitment. We want to talk about especially our commitment to Jesus Christ. Are you willing to commit to serving Jesus every day? I want to talk about how that commitment is tough for a lot of people and why it is the case. Why is it that people will not commit to a lifelong marriage? Why is it that people will not commit to serving Christ? They won't commit to their job or to their education. And I think we'll find that there are a number of cultural and societal forces against us, and by forces I mean attitudes, teachings, examples, that are against a person, and they will not make the commitment that they need to make. If you'll turn in your Old Testament this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I want to read verses 1 through 7, where Solomon talks about making a vow or a promise and keeping that and being committed in keeping that. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. As you're turning over there, we always invite you to come be with the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. You can come tomorrow. We have a Bible study at 9:30. The adult classes are studying in the book of Genesis, and the children's classes are studying Genesis and Exodus, different topics related to those matters as well. We have classes for all ages. We have a worship service at 10:30, again Sunday evening at 6 p.m., Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., 290 Warfield Boulevard. We'd love to have you. Or check us out online at wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, I'd like to read this text together. The reader is admonished to keep a commitment once he speaks that with his mouth. Let's read together Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, for to draw near to hear is better than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they know not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh with a multitude of business, and a fool's voice with a multitude of words. When you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou vowest. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams there are vanities, and in many words, but fear thou God. So be careful. And this particular vow is spoken of to a person in the Old Testament Jew who would come into the temple and make a vow to God, but we can make the application to a vow or a promise that we make anywhere, even today. The first thing Solomon says is, be not rash with thy mouth. In verses 2 and 3, it's easy just to say a lot of things. He talks about a fool's voice with a multitude of words. It's easy just to make a bunch of promises, but we're not going to keep them. So guard your mouth and say only that which you truly mean, and that you will keep your word. And then in verse 4, God has no pleasure in people who don't keep their word. So guard your mouth. It's easy just to say a bunch of things, including promises, and I will do this and I will do that, and not keep it. Why is it that commitment is tough today? Sometimes, especially when I talk with people about spiritual things and getting their life right with God, they just don't want to commit. They're happy with their life without God or without Jesus Christ. And it's not just our relationship with God, although that is the core and root of many of the problems. Consider, for example, the decline in marriage that we have today and the high rate of divorce. Our divorce rate is around 50%. That was not the case many years ago. People say, I do, and then not long after that, they say, I don't. They don't want to be married anymore. They get out of it for any cause, any reason. We have a decline in the commitment to stay married for life. One man, one woman for life. Multiple marriages, multiple divorces today. Trial marriages. People live with each other before getting married just to sort of check it out or try it out. None of that is found in the Word of God. It's a very selfish and me-centered society. Divorce rates are high because we won't stay committed. Consider the enormous amount of debt, both personal and national, that we have incurred because we find it easy to spend money, borrowed money, but we don't pay it back. And we say we will, we sign contracts that we will, and then we try to get out of that. We don't pay it, and so we don't keep our commitments. Another example might be a lack of devotion and commitment in our schools and in our work. We lack a work ethic on the job, and we don't want to be committed to doing our schoolwork, and so we drop out. Commitment and a lack thereof is found in various aspects of our society. Consider the lack of dependability in general from those who don't keep their word. People all the time are saying that they're going to do such and such, and they just don't do it. They either don't intend to ahead of time, and they know they're not going to do it, or for whatever reason, they don't do it later. But you'll find this in the workplace. You'll find it in society as a whole. People are not committed to keeping their word. And consider a lack of commitment among some religious people, and even New Testament Christians. They have attendance problems. They don't come when they could. They're not giving when they could. They will not volunteer when they could. And so it is sort of a religion that is just sort of a casual thing. It's in name only. Or they might be Sunday morning only Christians, or not even that. They like to tell people that they're a member of such and such church, but they're really not committed to that church. If they tried to get somebody to join with them, they wouldn't be taken seriously because they themselves are not that committed. So why is it that we are lacking commitment today? Well, let's look at a few factors in our culture and in our society that generate this general lack of commitment. First of all, I would suggest that society as a whole has a loose moral code. The liberal media and liberal politicians who don't have God in their life care nothing about God or His Word, and they will often sway public opinion to take a loose view of commitment. Often they don't have God in their own lives. They certainly don't want Him in other people's lives. And this is in movies, music, TV programs, news programs, where divorce is commended, abortion is fine, homosexuality is fine. And America is in a moral meltdown. It's a shame. And when we're told on a daily basis by those even in leadership positions that you don't have to marry, it doesn't have to be one man and one woman for life, you can do whatever you want, then you're going to buy into that lie after a while. In Psalm 33 in verse 12, Psalm 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Do we have God? Are we a nation whose God is Jehovah? Not on the whole, no. We are a very pluralistic society, or you don't have to believe in God at all. It doesn't matter. I was just talking with someone earlier today. I asked him, where do you go to church? And he said, well, I really don't go anywhere like I should. And I said, well, were you raised in a particular denomination? He said, yes, my mother was a Baptist and my father was an atheist. So there you go. We can choose not to have God in our life, but there's going to be ramifications of that, and one is that we're not committed to proper relationships and principles. A second reason, I want to talk about some reasons why commitment is tough. A second reason is, and this is unfortunate, religion's loose teaching on various principles. It's bad enough, or we might say we can expect it from our society, but we shouldn't see it in religion, but we do. Liberal preachers and theologians know how to undot the I's and uncross the T's in God's Word. They know how to get you out of your obligations and your commitments. And there are people who will preach it to where you don't have to stay married for life. There are people who will preach it where you don't have to marry. One man does not have to marry one woman. They'll preach it some other way. There are people who will preach it however you want it preached. If you look long enough and hard enough, you can find a preacher who will preach it the way you want it preached. And there are restrictions in God's Word, and yet preachers will loosen restrictions. They will loosen where God has bound. And it's difficult to stay committed in a society that is loose, and when you're surrounded by religions that are loose. And we find that even in Jesus' day. It's no big surprise. It goes all the way back to Jesus' day. Jesus faced the religious leaders of his day, and he questioned them and condemned them for making rules and allowing people not to keep their commitments to God. One example is in Matthew chapter 15, if you'll turn with me there. God said in one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother, which included taking care of them in their old age. But the scribes and Pharisees came along and they found a way, a loophole, a man-made doctrine that they could give their followers so that they didn't have to take care of their elderly parents. They didn't have to be committed to that particular relationship and obligation of the child to the parent. Read with me Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then there come to Jesus from Jerusalem Pharisees and scribes, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God said, this is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he that speaketh evil of father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, that wherewith you mightest have been profited by me is given to God. And in Mark chapter 7, they called it Corban. He shall not honor his father. And you have made void the word of God because of your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. All you have to do is say to your parents, I've already given this to God. I can't give it to you. And it gets them out of their commitment to taking care of their parents. So first of all, people are surrounded by society's loose moral code, religion's loose teaching on various Bible matters, and then number three, some have an attitude about God himself that God is loose in his own judgment, and so he's not going to bother with people who don't keep their word. But we just read in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, Solomon, speaking God's word, says that God holds us accountable for not keeping our word, not being committed. And yet many think that God will not punish them. Others think that God is so much a God of love, and he is, and a God of grace, and he is, that God's love and grace will overlook all their broken vows. Well, that's just not the case. God wants us to keep our word. And we've already read there in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that he does hold us accountable. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. That's the problem with our current judicial system and penal system, that we are so lax in sentence against evildoers that there's no fear of punishment, there's no fear of correction, and people go out and do things, and they know that at the most they might have to spend a little time in county jail where it's air conditioned and cable TV and a hot shower and three square meals a day. That's not a deterrent. And a lot of times the sentence just drags on and on, and it's paid for by the taxpayer. It needs to be speedily, and it needs to be harsh, and it would deter a lot of crime and violence in this country and around the world. But we've taken a lax view toward that, lax and liberal view, and we're reaping the consequence of it. And a lot of people have that same attitude toward God, even if they do believe that there's a God. He's so loving and kind that he's not going to do anything to me when I don't keep my word. And so Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 through 9, how that there were mockers saying that God said he's going to come again, but he's not. He won't keep his word. And Peter reminds them about the flood of Noah, and one day there's going to come in the future a day when the wicked are going to be judged and the world is going to be burned up. And God is long-suffering. And the same is mentioned in that chapter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 8 and 9. God is long-suffering, but there's going to come a day in which he will hold all mankind accountable. And some people think that God is just going to overlook all of that, just sort of wipe the slate clean without them changing in any way, without them repenting of their sin, without them being baptized into Christ. God's just sort of going to wipe it clean and act like it never happened. And that's just not true. In Romans chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there, God has a side of him that is long-suffering and good and kind, but one day that's going to run out. And when we exhaust that, the only thing left is the wrath of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 3. Do you reckon, O man, who judges them that practice such things and do the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Is that what you think? That we can just escape God's judgment? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? God is longsuffering, and he's giving us time to change. But what if we don't change? Well, the next verse. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. Shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no respect of persons with God. If we don't repent and take advantage of God's long-suffering and goodness, the only thing left is God's wrath, and he will hold us accountable. So, God is not loose like some people are. Let's look at a fourth reason why a lack of commitment is so prevalent today. There might be those who are close to home. There might be some even in churches of Christ who have a loose approval of things that go on in people's lives. Some brethren, some Christians approve of wrongdoing. Maybe they've twisted the word of God to approve of wrongdoing. Maybe it's their own personal lifestyle. Commitment is sacrificed on the altar of tolerance and a sweet get along and go along spirit. A live and let die attitude. And so they will accept anyone and everyone into their fellowship. They don't really want to preach against certain kinds of sin, whether it's immodest apparel or drinking or dancing or divorce. And we actually have a case of this in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, a man had his father's wife. He was committing fornication with his father's wife. And the brethren, the Christians at Corinth, were allowing that and accepting that into their fellowship. They weren't doing anything about it. They were fine with it. And Paul rebukes them for that. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, there was a group of Christians there that had tolerated a woman named Jezebel. This is the New Testament Jezebel, not the Old Testament Jezebel. And she was teaching and seducing Christians to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And the Christians there in that church at Thyatira, they were tolerating that. Well, it's kind of hard to be committed to what is right if people around you are applauding you and upholding you in the wrong that you're doing. This is a very unlikely place where looseness would come from, but we have to be honest, that's where it comes from also, in addition to these other things. And then, last of all, why is it that commitment is lacking? It's because of parents' loose control when raising their children. Many parents will not discipline, either physically or verbally, their children when they're young. And their lack of control fosters a lack of commitment. There are people in the Bible described as parents who would not raise their children properly. Eli did that with his son. He wouldn't restrain his sons, 1 Samuel 3:13. David did that with one of his sons. He wouldn't hold him accountable for what he had done, 1 Kings 1, verse 6. Why have you done so? And seriously hold him accountable. Proverbs 29:15, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And some people withhold correction. In fact, the proverb says that the person who withholds correction is the person who actually hates their son. And yet, we see a very loose and permissive parenting style today that is raising young people not to be committed to what is right, and they just do whatever they want, whenever they want, wherever they want. We're to train our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. We're to train them up in the right way, Proverbs 22, verse 6. And yet many do not do that. So, society's loose moral code, religion's loose teaching, a view that some people have that God is loose in his judgment, brethren or Christians' loose approval, and finally, parents' loose control over their children, it's no wonder that people are not committed to what is right. And people say all kinds of things, and even if it's right, they won't keep their word. Keep your word, friends. Otherwise, it's a sin. It's a sin to break our covenant. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 31, as we wrap up our program this morning, after a long list of sins that come in a chapter where Paul is describing people who don't want God in their lives, you don't have to have God in your life. Nobody's going to force you, God himself, nobody's going to force you to have God in your life. And you can choose that, friend. I'm not encouraging you to do that, but you can choose that. But when you choose that, there's going to be ramifications of that. So in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, Paul talks about those who refuse to have God in their knowledge. This is not something they wanted in their life. And so God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful. Covenant breakers. People who don't keep their word. That could be marriage. That could be their commitment to Christ. That could be an IOU. It could be a number of things. It's a sin. So commit yourself to God's service today. Jesus committed himself to his Father, 1 Peter 2:23. Let's make the same commitment today. Can we help you to do that? Can we sit down and study the Bible together? It is a commitment that you will be glad you made because of the great eternal reward in heaven for those who are dedicated and committed to God throughout their life. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. Please tune in again next Saturday morning for another edition, and we hope that you'll have a good day.